Good evening, everybody. Also, thank you very much for joining the evening. Ajahn Abhinandan and Sangha here. I believe most of you or everybody knows I am a Japanese. And I have been living in this country already 15 years. When I think of this number, I am the person to feel surprised more than anybody else. And so 15 years, and before that, I was actually exact same years, 15 years in Thailand. But the first year, I was a layman. Second year, I was a samanera. So if you think of the time as a monk, just in UK, 15 years, in Thailand already 13 years. So I'm living in this country quite some time. So why I'm saying this is for this retreat, what I'm going to say is based on that condition. So very much my personal version of about the meditation or practice or the life, Dhamma, whatever you call it. So some of you might think, okay, this is to learn about what is being taught in Thai forest tradition, but mine is not necessarily authorized one as such. Just, I repeat again, this is my personal version, and yet I try my best. So you take anything you find useful or interesting, that's good. But if you find something confusing or disagreeable or disappointing, I just ask forgiveness in advance. And anyway, I just keep on talking like this, so please sit comfortably. What I'm thinking tonight, this gathering, is I do some introductory talk now about a few things. And then in the middle, I do the ceremony for you to take three refuges and eight precepts, and then maybe we can meditate together, something like this. So meditation is waiting at the end, so please save your knees. Okay. So what shall I... And yes, I'm very pleased to be able to have a retreat here in this Dhamma Hall. Actually, I like this place very much. And I've been in this country for 15 years, and I think almost every year I have been having opportunity to visit this monastery, mostly in November when they have a Katina ceremony, or the most biggest festive occasion of the Buddhist calendar of the year. And But 2 years ago, I did a retreat here. That was in April. And I think to come here in June, very nice time to come here, is the first time. And also I somehow recognized this is quite north, I mean, this is, everybody knows, but also we just passed summer solstice, the longest day of the year. So I wanted to know how the evening or dusk time can last. I hope you understand what I mean. So I arrived here the day before yesterday, and I went down to the lake, and a very beautiful place I really like too. So I was walking that walk around the lake, just waiting for when it becomes dark, when it becomes dark. And yeah, quite pleasant. And also already half moon was in the sky. And so, nice. I was walking. And then I look at my watch here, and 10:45, still it was quite bright, so I gave up. And then this is something I plan to write an email cars to friends in Japan. He says, you've never experienced something you've never experienced in Japan. Anyway, this is completely a personal story. I mentioned about the moon, and our retreat carries on until Tuesday. And Tuesday is, depending on what lunar calendar you use, but according to our Thai lunar calendar, it would be full moon. Yes. So I feel it makes me happy to think our retreat carries on until we have a full moon. Just symbolically encouraging element is supporting us. Okay. So now I can talk about this retreat. And this retreat... And there's a structure. And this is quite important to support each of us as well as everybody. Structure or boundary. And I can think three things, three aspects, supporters. And number one, precepts. Precepts I will talk about a bit later. Number two, noble silence. Number three, routine or timetable. So this is a boundary or structure to support us. I mean, when we think of structure or boundary, sometimes we can think it as something to confine us and limit us. I mean, there is such element, but actually, what I like to share right now is it is quite a supportive element. Why is this? This is a meditation retreat, yes. But why are we here? And what I like to see is this opportunity for each of us to learn about this one, ourselves, or body and mind. Or I can even use the word come back to this being. In our usual life, daily life, yes, we function, we do things, we speak, we think, we interact, and so on, which is very important. But most of the time, how we live is to take action, to do something, or to receive something. Often, our mind is more towards outward or external. I mean, it is necessary too. I mean, if you become very reflective in like this, I mean, it is not helpful either. But it is a tendency of our life, particularly this modern life. Either you work in, or at home, or even in a monastery. This is how our life is. And also human beings, just like our eyes are in front of us. This is functioning more like what's next, what is in front of us. So this is physically we design like this. But now this opportunity is to stop from all of this, and to be back, to stay with us, and to learn who we are, or how we are here. Uri means body and mind. And for this purpose, yes, meditation is a very much direct means to work on this, to see this body and mind. Can be quite strong, at least very direct means. But we need to have a good boundary to support us, those three I mentioned. And this is the boundary not necessary to confine us, but works as something like a mirror. For instance, noble silence, silence, we don't speak. Some people say, oh, what a relief, I don't have to speak. I don't have to listen to that. This is a complete break, I like it. Some may say this, but to some people it can become quite a challenge. Or even at the beginning you may feel okay, but later different urge might come up. And all of this, how you think, how you see, is totally all right. This is very important. It's not about how good we are, how well we can do, how thorough it is. Not necessary, but to how, actually how we respond to each situation, how we are, how our body and mind is. So like this noble silence, silence. You like it, you feel resistance, or you are okay with it, but you feel some opinions. You can have some opinions about people, or he shouldn't be like this, others this. So this noble silence is a structure to help us. Of course, it has a very important element. Not to speak helps us to look at ourselves better, because speech, talking, is very important human function, even in our Buddhist Eightfold Noble Path, one of them to say, Samma Vacha, right speech. It doesn't say no speech, but we speak, but how we can speak skillfully. And as I believe all of us know, this is important and yet quite challenging. Sometimes the single word can change a life, either in a very beautiful way or can lead to an unnecessary disaster too. So the speech is very important element of our life, so we need to learn how to use this human ability in the most productive and skillful way. But in this retreat, we stop all of this. We stop. And that helps for us to be more with us, more reflective. And that's what I think. And so, for also, like, I hope talked about the questions or anything. If you have any question, any suggestion, question, please. This is very important to me. This is my lifeline for the retreat. But you see, even, okay, later, if there are any questions, I have to say, some of the questions, maybe I can't say anything, I don't know. Or sometimes I say something that you do not agree, or you might feel even uncomfortable to hear questions, oh, this is rubbish. Or if you hear somebody's experience, oh, I don't have that. So, but we keep silent. So this becomes opportunity for each of us to also how our mind responds. Yes, this is a question and answer. So the contents, I try to bring a Dhamma to each question. This is my responsibility. And so contents should be, well, I try to be of some use. But also, if another aspect is in silence, you listen to it. And then often some feeling of likes and dislikes or various even ideas. Oh, I don't know about it. I don't like it. Or I hate it. So that kind of response comes up. But this is also, I say, very precious. It's not about what to experience, but to see. How to experience is this opportunity, as as I've been saying, this is opportunity for us to learn how we are. So in this regard, noble silence is quite helpful. And this is a very rare opportunity. Yes, even if you're in a family and then, oh, I don't want to talk to you anymore. These kind of things might happen, but this is a cold war, very unpleasant and a big problem. But here, it is a very safe, peaceful environment to experiment the stop talking and then really focus on what's happening in our heart, body and mind. And this is a very unique, rare opportunity. So for some people, this is very easy. Some people, just a natural tendency to greet or some chat to this. But please, as I've been saying, this is an important element to support this retreat. So try keep this. And then also, there's a word, noble. So it's not just silence that we can think as a order, demand, judging, and so on, but noble silence. So there's a quality of kindness to each moment. It's not like we cannot make noise or we cannot speak anything. We should not like a demanding or ordering, but it is a noble silence. So the attitude is actually caring the moment, caring each moment. So the silence itself helps us to us to be in a right caring relation to each moment and then each member of us, even if we don't say anything. In relation to this, this retreat, no reading, and I don't know how is the agreement here, but no mobile phones. I mean, you can maybe it's easier to stop this, but this one, people are getting more and more diligent. I don't know, maybe in 20 years' time, our index finger become bigger. Well, this is amazing. So, so reading a books, even Dhamma books, it's totally all right to know what is Dhamma, what is the truth, and to get the right perspective. That's the purpose of the books, and then it is a useful thing. But for this retreat, why do we stop it? You may feel, oh, I need more inspiration, or if I don't read, I feel bored. This is very good. If we feel boredom, actually this is very good. Not only the retreat, when you come to the monastery, if you stay longer, sooner or later, we experience this. And I say to them, congratulations. because quite often our tendency is just more like a sort of impulse. If there's anything empty, you want to fill it up. Yes, at home, okay, watch television, look at the computer, listening to the music, going out, talking with friends, all of this. In the monastery, many of them are not available. Okay, what's left? Dhamma books. Yes, so you feel like, I say this is a very good thing, but this time you can put it down. And if you feel frustration, no problem. If you feel annoyed, no problem. If you miss books, you feel bored, all of this. This is the time for us to experience anything. We can be, it is totally all right for us to be how we are. You know, in our society, in our daily life, we need to meet people, we need to perform, we need to satisfy the expectation, we need to meet the expectation amongst the same. We have tried to be impressive, try to be looking kind and nice, even if something else is going here. Meditation and this retreat is very different. Totally all right for any of us at any time to be whatever. I can't say whatever because there's a precept. So there's a boundary. That's why we need a boundary. But when we meditate, whatever state of mind comes up, this is awful, this is ridiculous, how can it be? It is okay. Emotion is something not reasonable. That's why we call it emotion. Thinking, we think there's a, as a human being, we are intellectual enough, intelligence and the reason, but sometimes our thinking is nonsense. Is it wrong? Maybe in a usual context of social life, we have to be careful, we have to learn how to function, and so on. But this retreat is none of them. Totally all right for us to be ourselves. So in that sense, this is a very safe place. So we keep precepts. I can now talk about the precept. Precept actually guarantees us safe. Nobody comes to you to punch. Nothing happens, but sometimes men are like this. Or nobody comes to talk you in a very harsh way. Or nobody is going to judge you even. But our mind might say that, am I good enough? Or maybe Ajahn is checking you. That kind of thing comes up. That's okay. This is also something we like to notice. So it is not about giving a judgment or getting a good score or have a very agreeable experience. But any of this, whether you like or you don't like, or whether you can see clearly or feels like a confused, anything is okay. So this is, sounds simple enough, but our mind is very tricky. Mind doesn't like it, and then mind tells you, actually, and then we can be lost there. So this is the part we need to be patient, that we need to learn how to be ourselves. Okay, so I've been talking about why we are here, and then a boundary is quite helpful, and I talked about noble silence, and also no mobiles, no books. I don't know about the mobiles, maybe they said it's okay, I'm not sure. And you might hate to hear this. If you feel hatred, that's okay, you can be aware of it. What else? Routine, a timetable, starting from 5 o'clock, bell, 5:30, to come here to do morning gathering and so on. And sometimes we can think in the daytime, morning, afternoon, we plan to do walking, sitting and walking meditation. And some people think, okay, this is the time. Everybody goes to walking meditation. Okay, now, if I sit here more quiet, maybe true, but, or some other things, if I do this, this would be better, oh, I don't like, maybe I can change, this is more, it works better for me. Maybe true, but again, this retreat, instead of following that maybe right adjustment, notice your resistance to do it. Oh, actually, I want to sit here instead of going outside. Or, I don't like this time particularly. So that kind of things. It is that if we stay longer in the monastery, we need to learn what works for each of us, what is not. That wisdom faculty needs to develop too. But for this retreat, just to simply follow and various feelings, thoughts, again, if they arise, it's no problem. And then to be with it, to notice it, and then to understand them. That can be a very helpful experience too. And then the third one, precept. So for this retreat, we keep 8 precepts. And the monastery is actually the place to... You can even summarize, the monks are living, sangha is here, but lay people can stay too. So what actually support this peaceful place? One of the important elements is this 8 precept. And a precept is, in Pali we say sila, in English translation is morality. And actual contents of it is precept is refrain from this, refrain from that. So it's not about doing something. The other way, refrain from doing unskillful. Refrain from doing unwholesome. This is actually more to do with five precepts. So I don't know if you're familiar with this, you know. But five precept is actually the essence of precept. And then for each human being to be... It is the most important guideline for human being, how to live a life. So this is a 5 precepts. So it is a genuinely morality, refraining from unskillful action, refraining from unwholesome action that would cause pain immediately to us, to ourselves, to others. So the 5 of them is like killing intentionally other living creatures. Second one, taking that which is not given. You can summarize it as stealing, but in Pali it says adinadana. So more correctly translating is taking that which is not given. Actually, I like this way of saying it. Stealing, yes, we know what it is, but really taking what which is not, taking that which is not given. So this word itself, how we destroy a respectful relation with other human beings. Third one, in 5 precepts, kame, samicca, chara, refraining from sexual misconduct. And I still don't know so much about the society in this country because I'm just living in a monastery society, how it is like. But how I hear here or in Japan or in Thailand, sometimes very intense suffering very, very challenging pain can be caused by this sexual misconduct, mistrust between in a relation. People can follow just their, I can use a strong word, desire, but the result of that somebody else is suffering enormously. And also the consequence will sooner or later come back to the person or persons as well. So when I came across with the third precept, Kame Sumi Chachara, I didn't think so much of it. But the more I know the nature of the other, what's happening in a society or what I hear from people, this is not a small thing. This precept is not small. Fourth one, Sawada, it's about refraining from lying. This is also quite a challenge about the speech. But here, it's very straightforward, no speech, no noble silence. Fifth one is refraining from alcohol, drugs, intoxicants. Yes, this too can cause unnecessary damage to our life. I'm okay, alcohol, what's wrong? You can say this, but once you become, well, number one, once we become addicted to it, I've seen many cases of enormous suffering, or even you don't have to become addicted, but just lost in alcohol, and it leads to do some unskillful things or just unnecessary speech and then damage our life as a result. That kind of things. So this fifth one also dangerous because it challenges our mindfulness. Okay, so this is five precepts, really basis of each of us as a human being, how to lead a life in a skillful way, harmonious way. But now we keep eight precepts, six, seventh, eighth, and also third becomes a brahmacharya viramani, which means refraining from any intentional sexual behavior. And the sixth one is not eating after midday until next dawn. I mean, we have a few things to support us as a tonics and so on, but basically usual meal we refrain from. And then seventh one is about entertainment and adornment. Yes, so the smartphone can go that category very easily. Lots of contents there. And then eighth, about a luxurious bed, sleeping place. So is it in terms of moral, is it wrong? No. What's wrong about eating a meal in the afternoon right now? What's wrong? No, it's okay. So what is about eight precepts? What makes eight precepts different from five precepts? Five precepts is genuine morality, but these additional further three precepts plus third precept changing into a brahmacharya viramani. This is a precept of renunciation. Renunciation. What is renunciation? Is to learn how to keep a distance from our sensual desire, wanting, is it eating, or entertainment, adornment, you see. Or a third one is directly about the sexual desire. So this is, you know, our life, lots of joy, beautiful moment is actually there. We like it. I say this is in itself maybe not necessarily wrong, not like a breaking of five precepts, but for this occasion, taking eight precepts or a precept of renunciation means to learn to have a perspective around our sensual desire. In English, well, desire is maybe sounds too very strong, so sensual area of wanting. You know, when you look at the advertisement, this is just one after another. When we go to, or like recently I went to London, very different to the, inside the monastery. And what's happening is one after another to stimulate our senses, and then why don't you buy this? Why don't you get this? One after another. We stop this. We stop this. Then life becomes simple. Also, by learning to have a perspective around this area, actually we become strong, or I can use the word more free. Opposite way, for instance, you see, to give up the meal, supper or dinner, you see, first you think, can I do this? This is one of the biggest event of the day. And to not to have a supper. Yeah, I mean, I have to say, I led the retreat, meditation retreat in Spain a few times, but I know it would be very, very difficult, almost impossible to do a retreat with the Spanish people to ask, keep eight precepts. So maybe they can do, but this is my assumption. So when I did it, it's okay to have a simple supper. So mine was okay, but later one of the sisters went there, and then she was okay about them having a supper, I guess. But what surprised her was at the meal they provided wine as well. So for them, this is indispensable unless we really make sure. I can tell you, we did it with the noble silence with Spanish people, and I knew this was not easy for them. And the meal time. So usually I would, well, here this time it would be different, but usually I would eat separately from retreatants so that I can eat more comfortably. But with them, I thought I should join them. I should be an example. So we sat on the tables, and I really could feel they are just the edge of to speak. You see, the eating time is the most joyous, sociable occasion. And then I was asking them to not to chat, not to give a comment about the food, not talk about anything else. And for them, so they were managing, but I really, almost like a tangible, they were edge of bursting into conversation. And that retreat was held in a nunnery, Christian nunnery, and then only three or four elderly Christian nuns were actually helping, serving food. And one of them was very naughty. She knew we are keeping silence, and she came to each table to say, "Oh, how are you? Is this soup is good?" I'm looking down upon Spanish people, anything like this, and they were also very keen and sincere just a different cultural conditioning. And I can say, if we really want to make it a proper precept and retreat, should be possible. But I didn't want to make it too strict for them. But here, this is a monastery. Perfect opportunity to do this. So, eighth precept is a precept of renunciation. And this is something we miss from this society, modern society, wherever you go. Renunciation, even people do not know the word renunciation, I was told. So, eight precepts. And so this one helps protect us too. Okay, in retreat, it is 5 days. It's not very long, but okay, various mental states or feeling might arise, but we can trust each other. Or when we don't speak anything, our mind can do funny things. We can proliferate thought, and maybe he is this, she might be. And we can joke about it. Sometimes our mind is like this. But remember, there is a precept, agreed precept. None of friends or people around you come to do anything. So we can trust this. This is very safe, wonderfully safe place. It's because it is a monastery, yes. And also because we agree to keep eight precepts. So that's why I'm saying these three things of boundary, noble silence, keeping a routine, and a precept. It's not just confining us, but also helping us to relax, and then to be okay to be ourselves. Even we may feel at times awkward, ridiculous, or wonderful, proud of ourselves, whatever, but this is not about judging, looking for good score, but really okay to be ourselves. Okay. So now, having explained about the precept, I think it's good to take eight precepts together. And the text for it you can find on page 59. So, as the text says, text says bowing three times and so on. This is in a Buddhist country. This is no question about it, or you don't have to think about it. But here, nothing is forced. So if you don't feel comfortable, or if you're not familiar, we already chanted at the beginning, but if you feel uncomfortable, or if you, just the beginning, we just observe, that's fine. Bowing or particular rituals we perform, if you feel uncomfortable, you do not have to feel forced to join. But this is, at least the agreement is to keep eight precepts and then to say in word together, should be helpful. So if you are ready, please start by bowing three times.